Today's shiur is Masechta Baba Basra Daf Kuf Chof Aleph. We will begin on Daf Kuf Chof Amud Beis Ulebe Shammai, four lines from the bottom. As we had learned in the previous shiur, the Gemara had taught us a Gzeirah Shava between the parsha of Shchutei Chutz and the parsha of Nedarim to teach us that Haftaras Nedarim could be done by three people who are not experts. But the Gemara had also continued to teach us that we learn from this Gzeirah Shava that the concept of She'ela on Nedarim extends itself not only to Nedarim but also to Hegdish. And if somebody was Magdish an animal as a carbon, he does have the right, the opportunity to be matter that nether. So the Gemara said that obviously learning the Gzeirah Shava that way must follow the opinion of Beis Hillel, who holds Yesh She'ela Behegdish, that indeed an animal that's designated a carbon, we can be matter that nether. Beis Shammai, however, is of the opinion that ain't She'ela Behegdish. And therefore the Gemara tried to identify where, according to Beis Shammai, where we learn the different halachas that Beis Hillel learned. And now what the Gemara is up to is, according to Beis Shammai, the less Gzeirah Shava, that doesn't learn the Gzeirah Shava that we just explained, Hafaras Nedarim B'Shloisha Joitis, in the distance we can be Mata Neder with three regular people that we don't need Mumchim Menaluhu, since they don't learn the Gzeirah Shava, from where will they know this din? Answers the Gemara, Nafklam Adetanya. We learn it from the following Braisa. And what will happen now is that the Gemara Mitzvashem is going to quote the Braisa, which, when we read the words of the Gemara, the words of the Braisa, they're actually hard to understand what is the Braisa saying. But afterwards, the Gemara will immediately explain what the Braisa says. Nafklam Adetanya, because the Pasuk says, Vidab Moshe es me'ade Hashem abnei Yisrael. Rabbi Yosef Glili Yomer, says Rabbi Yosef Glili, that we learn from those words, Ma'ade Hashem Nemru, Shabbos Bereshis Loi Nemru, that this refers to Ma'ade Hashem, not to Shabbos. Benazai Yomer, Benazai learns it differently, Ma'ade Hashem Nemru, Hafaras Nedarim Loi Nemru. And again, as I said, we are now going to begin to try to understand this Braisa. Actually, we're not the first that need help in understanding the Braisa. Because the Gemara says, Rav Yosef ben Nosson Garmel Ol Hamas Nisan. Rav Yosef ben Nosson learned this Braisa, V'lo Yodalei Lefrusha, and he was unable to explain it. Ozel Basrei the Rav Sheshis L'Nador. So he followed Rav Sheshis L'Nador, that Rav Sheshis should try to help him understand it. V'lo Ashkechei, but he could not find Rav Sheshis in L'Nador. Ozel Basrei L'Mechuzo, so he followed him to Mechuzo, Ashkechei. There he was able to find him. Amalei, and he asked him, "My ma'ad Hashem Nemra, Shabbos Bereshis Loi Nemra." How do we understand Rabbi Yosef Glili's statement that he differentiates between Yom Tovim and Shabbos? Amalei, so he said what the Braisa means to say is, "Ma'ad Hashem Tzrichim Kiddush Pesdin." Yontif, in order to be considered Yontif, requires a declaration from Pesdin. However, Shabbos Bereshis, Shabbos, which means every Shabbos, and it's Tzricha Kiddush Pesdin. And the reason Shabbos is called here Shabbos Bereishis, why is it just not called Shabbos? Because as the Rishonim explain, the Torah uses the word Shabbos in different contexts, not only regarding Shabbos. Yom Kippur, for example, is called Shabbos Shabboson. By Pesach, the Pasuk says the words Mimochras HaShabbos. So in order to know that we're referring to the Shabbos, to Saturday, so our Gemara calls Shabbos Shabbos Bereishis. And what the Gemara is teaching us is that Shabbos Bereishis ain't a Tzricha Kiddush Pesdin, it comes automatically. Kosak Dat Chemina, one would perhaps say, since the two psukim about Shabbos and Yontif are right next to each other, I would think that just like Yontif, we learned, requires Kiddush Bezdin, to buy Kiddush Bezdin, Kamayadis, so too Shabbos require it, Kamashmon, that it doesn't. So what does Kiddush Bezdin mean? We have here Machloikis Rishoyim. The Rashbam says that Kiddush Bezdin means that since Rosh Chodesh is declared by Bezdin, and based on when Rosh Chodesh is declared, that's when Shabbos, that's when Yom Tov is. So that's what the Gemara means when it says, "My Adam Yom Tovim require Kiddush Bezdin." But that Yom Tov itself requires a declaration, says the Rashbam, there's no such halacha. However, the Rashba disagrees. The Rashba says what the Gemara means when it says that Yom Tov requires Kiddush Bezdin is that when Yom Tov comes, Bezdin has to declare that today is Yom Tov. And actually, I was perhaps the reason the Rashba takes that approach is because the Gemara in Masechta Rosh Hashanah actually says that not every Rosh Chodesh requires Kiddush Bezdin. Because the halacha is, says the Gemara Masechta Rosh Hashanah, we know that a Jewish month, Rosh Chodesh could be in one of two ways. Either way, either Rosh Chodesh could be on day number 30 of the previous month, or Rosh Chodesh could be on day 30 and day 31. If the month before is Muberes, that's a 30-day month, then Rosh Chodesh is automatically on day 31. So if our Gemara is saying that Yom Tov requires declaration, and how is the declaration accomplished? As the Rashbam says, by Rosh Chodesh being declared, not every month does Rosh Chodesh have a declaration. And that's why perhaps the Rashba says, what Pshat in the Gemara is that every Yom Tov, whether Rosh Chodesh was officially declared or not, requires its own declaration. The Rashbam, perhaps, will be able to explain in the following manner, that even though the halachas, as I just said, that when the previous month is Muberes, there is no need for an official declaration of Rosh Chodesh, the halacha is that still Bezdin has to Mekabel Edus, take testimony when the new moon was seen. And that will be in the place of the Kiddush Bezdin. It's also interesting to point out, the Sharm Tzion Melacha makes this observation. He says, even though our Gemara is teaching us that Yom Tovim require declaration, Shabbos doesn't require declaration, but on the other hand, says the Sharm Tzion Melacha, the halacha that Kiddush has to be made every Friday night is halacha by Shabbos where it's Daraisa. Kiddush is a Chiv Daraisa, Kiddush HaKos is not, whereas by Yom Tov there is no Chiv Kiddush. Then the next part of the Braisa, and actually the Mefarshim debate, is there a Machloikis here between Ben Azai and Rabbi Yosef Glili? Or given that Ben Azai and Rabbi Yosef Glili speak about different subjects, there really is no Machloikis. Says the Gemara, how do we understand Ben Azai's statement? My Ade Hashem Nemra, Hafaras Nadarm Lai Nemra, to teach us, My Ade Hashem Tzrich Mumchem, we need mumchim to identify Rosh Chodesh. Machloikus Rishonim, who are those mumchim? The opinion of the Rambam is that it has to be members of the Sanhedrin, or at least people who were designated by the Sanhedrin to act in this capacity. The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam's opinion is that any mumchim, anybody who's an expert in this field, could be Mekadosh to Chodesh. My Ad Hashem Tzricha Mumchem, Hafaras Nadarim, whereas Hafaras Nadarim don't require a Mumcha. Ask the Gemara, Varashi Matis Ksiv, doesn't the Torah teach us that the people that should do Hafaras Nadarim are Rashi Matis, and therefore, how can we say that we don't require a Mumcha for Hafaras Nadarim? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Rav Yochanan, B'Yochid Mumcha. That's referring to a Yochid Mumcha. A Mumcha could be made for on his own. When you don't have Mumchim and you have Hajaitis, there you're going to have three Dayanim. We've been learning the halacha about the B'nai Tzolofcha, the others, that were not allowed to marry outside of the Shevet. And the Gemara speaks about a sugya that gets, that touches upon that. Tanan Hassan, we learned in the Mishnah Masechta Tainus. Amar Shimon Gamliel, lo yahoy yom tovim liYisrael, there were no greater yom tovim by Klal Yisrael, ki chamisha ba'asa ba'av, or ki yom kippurim. Like chamisha asa ba'av and yom kippurim. And as the Rishonim already point out, that the Gemara used the words lo yahoy, the weren't, that these yom tovim, the yom tov chamisha asa ba'av, is really not a yom tov anymore. What the Gemara represents was done on Chavisha Basubav is not a Yontif, but still the minig is, the halach is, that Tachnun is not said on Chavisha Basubav. The Mepharshim also point out, the Ritva says that we learned the Gemara Masechta Sukkos, that says, the Mish Loi Ra Simcha Zu, whoever didn't see the Simcha Beis Sheva, Loi Ra Simcha Miyamav. So how does our Gemara say that Chamish Asba'ov and Yom Kippur were the greatest Yom Tovim? Answers the Ritva that that's referring to a Yontif in the Beis HaMikdash. Here we're referring to Yom Tovim not in the Beis HaMikdash. Shebehen Benois Yerushalayim Yoytzes B'Klei Lovin Sh'ulim, they used to go out and borrowed white clothing, and specifically borrowed that it should, as the Gemara says, Shloi Levayis Es Misha Eloi, not to embarrass somebody who didn't have. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Yom Kippurim, we could understand why Yom Kippur is such a great Yontif, because Yom Slicha Mechila, Yom Kippur is the day of Slicha Mechila that we have. Yom Shnitten by Luchas Achroinus, it was the day that the second Luchas were given, and that's when Klal Yisrael was forgiven. And since Klal Yisrael was forgiven on this great day, that is the biggest thing that could happen to Klal Yisrael. They could have Yeshua, they could have Slicha Mechila. It's the day that Klal Yisrael is pure, and that's what's represented by Kli Lovin Sh'ulim. And that's why it was the day when Klal Yisrael is pure, which is the appropriate day for Shidduchim. Because, as the Mepharshim explained, it's the day where a person, when he looks for a shidduch, looks in the most earnest way, because it's Yom Kippur and he has nothing else to think about, and he knows what's important and what's not important. Just like the Pasuk says that Yom Kippur is a day we don't eat and drink, that's the day that is Me'ein Olam Haba, as the Pnei Menachem explains, and that's why it's the day that a day of real simcha. That's why the meaning is that on Yom Kippur we say good Yontif, because Yom Kippur is a real Yontif, and that was the day that a person spent on Shidduchim. It's the right day for it. El Chamisha Asbav Maihi, what is so special about Chamisha Asbav? Up to the point the Mepharshim point out that the Gemara, when the Gemara and the Mishnah, the Masechta Tainus, speak about this Yom Tovim, it mentions Chamisha Asa Ba'av before it even mentions Yom Kippur. So some Mepharshim suggest, because the Tana is following the order of the months counting from Nisan, and if we start counting from Nisan, Chamisha Asa Ba'av comes first. But others explain, as we will learn now in our Gemara, that so many great things happened on Chamisha Asa Ba'av, and that's why it's mentioned in the Mishnah even before Yom Kippur. So as the Rashbam points out, the Gemara now, Mitzashem, is going to mention a number of different things that happened on Chamisha Asa Ba'av, and what the Gemara is teaching us is that not that there's a machlokes, but actually all of the various things that the Gemara mentions happened on Chamisha Asa Ba'av are all true. They all happened. So it says the Gemara Amar Yehuda Mishmul, what happened that day was Yom Shotrus Shvatim Zavel Zel Zeh. As we have been learning, Moshe Rabbeinu told the generation that came into Eretz Yisrael that if there were any women who had yashin their fathers, they should not intermarry into other Shvatim. That ended on Chamish Asabov. My drush, what was the drusha that they learned that this rule no longer applies? Because the pasuk says, "Dava zeh lo yinarg el b'dar zeh." This should only apply in this generation. And as a machlokes hamafarshim, how to understand the Gemara. The easiest way of learning the Gemara is actually the pshat of the Rishash. That this drasha, they only learned this drasha at that point, which represented a tremendous simcha that they could intermarry, and therefore they said this drasha on that day. Tosfos Rid takes a different approach. Tosfos Rid's approach was that they actually were aware of this drasha from when this halacha was said, but they were concerned that if everybody was aware that this was only a temporary rule, perhaps people would not take it seriously and not follow the rule. Only at this point where they saw that this generation was no longer really alive, they felt comfortable in publicizing the rule. The Rashbam says that on that day, the Baye Haaretz, there were no longer any Baye Haaretz, or at least most of the Baye Haaretz were no longer alive. So that's why they felt comfortable in saying the rule, because it didn't apply to them. But of course, says the Rashbam, if we were to find somebody left from the Baye Haaretz that fell into this category, the rule would certainly still apply to them. Ask the Marsha, yes, it's a tremendous simcha that these women are no longer limited to intermarrying into other shvatim. But at the same time that it's a tremendous simcha that women aren't prohibited from intermarrying, it also is not a pure simcha, because it adversely affects the men who now, the shvatim, who can lose shares of their nachla. So why is this considered a yontif? So the Mashah's approach is that when the Gemara says there was a yontif, it means it was a yontif for the women, that the women were now able to intermarry. But indeed, it wasn't necessarily a yontif for everyone. The men weren't specifically happy. But I saw other pshatim that say as follows, that this rule is not really such a great rule, because the same way that women who have nachla can marry other shvatim, there are situations where men have nachla, and if they marry, that they also can end up with situation. Just what is it? It evens itself out. And that's why it's not necessarily such a great, important rule. Only by Shevet Yosef, where the Pasuk says regarding Shevet Yosef, the Yidgu L'Roy V'Kerev Arutz, that they had particularly a lot of men. Here, if the B'nai Tzalafchad are going to take this share, they were particularly concerned if the B'nai Tzalafchad will get such a large share. But once this generation of B'nai Tzalafchad are no longer alive, even Shevet Yosef didn't have a problem with it, and that's why they had no problem establishing this rule. Rabbi B'chanan, Rabbi Yochanan, give a different explanation. What was the great yontif of Chamish Asbav? It was Yom Shur to Shevet Binyamin Lava B'kol. It was the day that Shevet Binyamin was allowed to come into Klai Yisrael. As we discussed in our previous shurim, the story of Pelegish B'giva, where the Pelegish of a man from Ephraim who was abused, and there was a terrible civil war because of it, against Binyamin, and there were only 600 men of Binyamin left over, and even those men were said should not be allowed to intermarry into Klal Yisrael. And on that day, they lifted that ban. Yom Shur Toshev Binyamin Lav B'kol. The Ksiv, Vish Yisrael Nishba B'mitzvah Leimar, Ish B'menu Layitin B'itay LeBinyamin LeIsha. No one may intermarry with Shevet Binyamin. Why did they lift that ban? Because that, as the Ritva explains, a ban, an Isser that's established on a previous generation, remains for all future generations. And we have no right to just lift it. So how did they have a right to take away that ban? My Dorish, what did they darshan? Mimenu v'loy b'beneinu. This is only for our generation, but not for future generations. Ask the Ramban. If the original ban was strictly Mimenu v'loy b'beneinu, so how could there be a day that it's a yontif all of Klal Yisrael? Every family, we should look, if the original generation is still alive, they can't intermarry. And if the new generations are here, they can intermarry. Says the Ramban, a tremendous chiddush. Ramban says, from here we see that, let's say, this Isser, we use as an example, where there's an Isser that everybody from that generation can't intermarry. So even if there will be families where the original generation is not alive anymore, it's already Bneinu, if most of Binyamin is still the original generation, an Isser that said, even if it no longer applies to a minority, the minority have to follow the majority, and even the Bneinu, even the children who are children and the Isser wasn't set on them, would have to follow that Isser until most of Shev Binyamin was in the category of Bneinu. And this was the day where it was that happened. There was mostly second generation, no longer the original generation, and that was the Simcha. Rav Dibin by Yosef Aram Nachman, it was Yoyim Shekolaba Mesa Midbar. It was the day that the people who were supposed to be in the Midbar stopped perishing. Dormamar, Ach Lekola Mesa Midbar, until the Mesa Midbar stopped perishing, Lehoyediba Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not speak directly with Moshe Rabbeinu. Shenemar, because as the pasuk says, Vehika Shetama Kalanshim Chama Lomas Mekarav Am, only when most of these people passed away, V'samachle V'yidaba Hashem Elai Leimer Elai HaYodiba. So to understand the Gemara, first we'll explain it the way the Rashbam explains the Gemara. We know after the Chet, after the Avera of the Meraglim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed that all of the people who were between 20 and 60 should perish in the Midbar. And every year on Tisha B'Av, which was the day of that the Meraglim came with their terrible report about Eretz Yisrael, everybody who was of that age would dig graves and lay themselves down in graves, and then with most about 15,000 or more, a little more than 15,000 people each year would die. In the last year before they were about to enter Eretz Yisrael, they did the same. They dug graves and they lay down in the grave. They woke, but in the morning, everybody woke up, Baruch Hashem. Nobody was dead. So they thought that there was something, that they had made a mistake in identifying that today was indeed Tisha B'Av when it really wasn't Tisha B'Av. So they kept on doing so every night to make sure that they were doing the right thing. By the time Tezva B'Av came, and the moon was seen in the sky whole, so they knew it's no longer Tisha B'Av, because Tisha B'Av is towards the beginning of the month when the moon isn't full. They realized that nobody was going to die that year, and because nobody was going to die that year, the terrible Gzeira had stopped, and they were tremendously happy, and that's when they, and that was when, as we're going to speak about a little more in a moment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu resumed davening, speaking directly to Moshe Rabbeinu. Actually, so according to the Rashbam's Pshat, at least this is the way most Mefarshim understand the Pshat of the Rashbam, really there were supposed to be people that died that year. But in Nes happened that that group of people who were supposed to die that year did not pass away. And I saw a beautiful Pshat, why not? The Mefarshim explained as follows. Every year, as we described a moment ago, as the people would lay down in the grave, not everybody who lay down thought he's going to die, because they had time until they would be going into Eretz Yisrael. Only when it was the last year, when anybody who was between 20 and 60 knew that this is the year for sure that I'm passing away. A person who knew for sure that he was passing away did tremendous tshuva. He did tremendous tshuva because he knew he's for sure dying. That tshuva saved him from indeed passing away. This is pshat of the Rashbam. Tosfos is not agreeable with the Rashbam's pshat, because Tosfos says, first of all, these people were supposed to die. And if nobody was supposed to die, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have been speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu all year long already. And therefore Tosfos says that this year people died like they died in every other year. But what happened is, this year they died in Tisha B'Av, and then after Tisha B'Av there's 7 days of Avelis, and they finished Avelis on Tezva B'Av, and Tezva B'Av they they knew that all the Maisei Midbar were finished, and that's why it was a tremendous simcha. And in fact, the Mefarshim say that's why we always say Haftaras Nachmu always comes out around Tu B'Av, because Nachmu Ami, we had a complete Nechama. And once Klai Yisrael finished this terrible gzeira, says the Gemara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to speak directly to Moshe Rabbeinu. What's pshat that he spoke directly to Moshe Rabbeinu? So the Rashbam explains that during all those years, HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu only when necessary. Otherwise, he didn't speak to him. Whereas now, they had a different relationship. The Rashi and the Ritva explain that until now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, but it wasn't with the same chiba, it wasn't with the same love. Now that love came back, others say that he didn't speak to him directly, now he started to speak to him directly again. Continues the Gemara. Ula says what happened on this day. It was Yom Shabbat Boy Hoshea ben Ela Padasos. It was the day that Hoshea ben Ela removed the security Shahoshav Yeravim al Drachim, that Yeravim had put up guards Shloyal Yisrael Rego. And as the Gemara explains elsewhere, what happened was that after Shlomo HaMelech passed away, Klal Yisrael was divided into two groups, the 10 Shvatim and Shevet Yehuda Binyamin. Rechavim ben Shlomo was the Melech of Yehuda, and Yeravim ben Nevat was the Melech of Yisrael. Yeravim ben Nevat was very concerned that Klal Yisrael should not be oil regal to the Beis HaMikdash, because ein yeshiva bazara, no one is allowed to sit in the azara, ela malchus beis tavid vad, only members of the malchus beis tavid. And Yeravim was concerned that if that would happen, that if all of Klal Yisrael would come to the Beis HaMikdash, to the azara, and see that it was Rechavim sitting, not Yeravim, they would leave, they wouldn't accept Yeravim to be melech. To avoid that, Yeravim put up two avodah zaras, one in Don and one in Beersheva, one in the north and one in the south. And they should go worship the Avodah Zarah, not worship Hashem and the Beis HaMikdash. When Hoshea ben Ela became king, it's not to say that he was such a great tzaddik. It wasn't that he took away the Avodah Zarah, but he did give the people the chance to choose. And if they want to go be Oyel Regel, he allowed them to be Oyel Regel. Reb Masna Amar, what was the greatness of this day? It was Yoyim Shenitnu Harugei Betel Kfura. It was a day that Harugei Betel were allowed to come to Kfura. Dom Rav Masna, Ois Yoyim Shenitnu Harugei Betel Kfura, the day that Harugei Betel were allowed to be buried, Tiknu B'yavna Atoiva Meitiv. They made up to say in benching the bracha of Atoiva Meitiv. Hatoiv Shlo Yisrichu, that for the 52 years that they were laying, they did not decompose. The Meitiv Shenitnu L'Kfura, that they were given to Kfura. What happened was that the great city of Beitar was killed in the aftermath of Bar Kochva's revolt, and they were left there in the Kerem of Andronius, unburied for 52 years. During those 52 years, they did not decompose, but that day, they were brought to Kfura, and because they were brought to Kfura that day, they said that we should add this bracha of Hatoiv Ameitiv. Hatoiv is a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he not let these bodies decompose. For Meitiv, that we were able to bring them, the Meitiv that we were able to do something good, that we were able to bring them to Kfura. Mefarshim ask, of course, it's a tremendous simcha that they were brought to Kfura. But the question is, why is the bracha that we say to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for it said in benching, in Birchas HaMazon, why isn't it said in davening? So some Mefarshim say, because since this represents a nes, and everything else that we're mentioning in benching also represents tremendous nisim that happened to Klal Yisrael, Malchus Beis David, that we got Eretz Yisrael. So it's the right place to say it in Birchas HaMazon. Another pshat is that since they were buried, since they were laying in a kerem, in a vineyard, and the bracha of Hatoiva Meitiv is also a bracha that represents, that benching also represents food, so it's appropriate that it should say by benching. And in fact, that is why the halacha is that if somebody is drinking wine with a group of people, and they started to drink one type of wine, and then another type of wine, a better quality wine, is brought to him, do you have to make a bracha atoiv ha-meitiv? Why is the bracha atoiv ha-meitiv? Because it's connected to atoiv ha-meitiv of this situation that also happened in the Kerem. And in fact, the Gra and the Ein El Yol explains that this is pshat, that a person, when he eats, or specifically when he drinks, may come to excess simcha. And in this world, we have to be concerned about excess simcha. How do we take care of that? By saying the bracha of atoiv ha-meitiv, that we recall what happened to those that terrible situation where so many people were laying for 52 years unburied, and that causes us to calm down and not get carried away. Rabbi of Yosef Damer Tavayu, what was the great yontif of Chamisha Osa Ba'av? Yoyin Shepoiskim by Melichras Eitzel Marocha. It was a day that they would stop cutting wood for the Mizbeach. Tanya, Rabbi Lezah Gol Oimer, Kim Shigia Chamisha Osa Ba'av. When Chamisha Osa Ba'av would come, Toshash Koicha Shulchama. The sun starts getting weaker. And since the sun starts getting weaker, they would stop cutting wood for the Mizbeach, because they did not want to bring any wood on the Mizbeach that had in it worms. So wood that was exposed to the real strong sun, the worms would have been burnt away. So they specifically used wood that they cut from Nisan, the Rashbam says, until Chamish Asbav. Amar Ramanasha, V'karale Yoim Tavar Magal. It was a day that the broke the axe that was used to cut the wood for the Mizbeach. The Kaveilach, after this time, the Moisif Yosef, somebody who spends more time learning at night, because after Tu B'Av, the nights get longer, Yosef will add more years. Sheina Moisif, somebody doesn't, Yosef should pass away. My Yosef, what does Yosef mean? Tamer of Yosef Tigbar Imin. So Mefarshim explained this Gemara. They say, what was the great yontif that because of that they made such a tremendous yontif that they stopped cutting wood for the Mizbeach? Some say Pashu Pshat, that they were able to stop, they didn't need to spend time on this, and since they didn't need to spend time on this, they were able to spend time on learning. And that's the yontif of Chamisha Asa Ba'av. Others say that whenever we complete doing a mitzvah, it's a tremendous yontif. And this was the siyum of this mitzvah of cutting the wood for the Mizbeach. And by a siyum, we make a yontif. And in fact, this is one of the sources where we learn that a siyum is not only made for finishing the Masechta, but for finishing any great thing a Siyum is made, and it's a yontif for everybody, up to the degree that Rav Yaakov Emden says that certainly a Siyum is a yontif, and during the 9 days we could participate in a Siyum and eat meat, for even if a person didn't learn, but he's a supporter of those that learn Torah, for him it's a yontif, and a Siyum should be made. He could participate in the Siyum. What about if he's not somebody that participated in learning or supported the learning? It's actually a machloikis. The Magen Avraham's opinion is if he's an individual that we would normally be invited to see my maid, he could participate. Others say that the Shach seems to say that anybody could participate. Ramosha, in discussing what is considered a subject or a scene can be made, Ramosha takes a very lenient opinion. He says if somebody learned Tanakh and finished Tanakh with learning it with Mefarshim, or even finished learning a Seder Mishnayos, all of that could be considered a Siyum. And perhaps the basis for that is Al Gemara, because Al Gemara teaches us that just finishing a Siyum on a mitzvah was considered a siyum for which they made a yontif. In fact, the Mashal says that there was an opinion that was taught that a siyum should be made, that by a siyum, just like by Sheva Brachas, we should say Shasimcha B'mayna, and he in fact once did that, says the Mashal, and the Simcha was ruined. So we shouldn't do that, says the Mashal, because we shouldn't say Shasimcha B'mayna, where Chazal did not tell us to say Shasimcha B'mayna, but certainly it is a very great Simcha. The Kedushas Levi has a very interesting pshat. Why is this a yontif? Kedushas Levi says that we know that we Jews count to the moon. We have a lunar calendar. The Goyim have a solar calendar. This was the day that showed the weakness of the sun. Yoin Tavra Magal, the Koyach, the power of the Umas Oilam was broken. And since the power of the Umas Oilam was broken, because their power is in the sun, we made it into a Yontif. Ramey Shapiro actually connects the two Gemaras. He says, you know when the power of the Umas Oilam is broken? In a day that Klal Yisrael is Maisif in Limur HaTorah, that they spend more time learning Torah, that is Maisif, that's the day that we have the power to overcome adversaries on Dumas Island. So Mefarshim ask that the Gemara says that the night was made for sleeping. So what's our Gemara saying? That the greatness of this day is the day that now the nights are longer. And because the nights are longer, we have more time to learn. We're supposed to learn by day, not by night. So Mefarshim say a tremendous pshat. They say as follows, that a person, and for us who learned the Daf Yomi, this is very appropriate, a person is supposed to have a kvius of what he learns every day. Every day he has to have certain limudim that he has to learn every day, and he needs to finish what he learns. The greatness of these days are that now that the nights are longer, he has time at night to make up what he's able to learn, and that's why it brings him, by having kviyas to learn, it will bring him arichas yomim. But of course, if not, the Gemara says, tikvrei imei. What's pshat tikvrei imei? So the Gemara, the Mefarshim quote, the Mashal quotes the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, that when they were inaugurating the Beis HaMikdash, the key to the Beis HaMikdash was under the pillow of Shlomo HaMelech. And Shlomo HaMelech overslept 4 hours. And it was a terrible kitrug on Klal Yisrael. And who woke up Shlomo HaMelech? His mother. So you see, it's the mothers who are worried that their children should do the right thing. As Mefarshim explained, the women, we spoke about this just the other day, are not obligated in the mitzvah Purur Revu. So how are they zoicha tarichas yomim? How are they zoicha tischar? By teaching their children Torah, by bringing their sons to yeshiva, by supporting the husbands in their learning. So here, if somebody doesn't learn Tigbar Ime, his mother will be upset, because that's her whole tachlis in life, to be maisif that her children should learn. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Shivlu Kiplus Kol Olam Kulay. There were 7 individuals that their life spanned the history of the entire world. And as Mefarshim explained, the connection to this previous Gemara is that all 7 of these people were people of great learning, and our Gemara just spoke about the importance of learning. Shivu Kiplus Kol Olam Kula, that 7 people spanned the history of the entire world. The Maral explains the significance of 7. 7 is connected to Shivu Mei Bereishis, the 7 days of the week. And if we want the world to have a kiyum, the world that was created in 7 days to have a kiyum, we have to have people who are tzaddikim. Mishishalach ra Adam, Shem ra Mishishalach, Yaakov ra Shem, Amram ra Yaakov, Achiyo Shiloni ra Amram, and Eloyo ra Achiyo Shiloni, Vadayin Koyim, and he's still alive. Ask the Gemara, how can we say that Achiyo Shiloni Ra'as Emram, that he saw Amravak Sivlai Nursmem Ish, that no one survived being in the Midbar, Ki'im Kala Ben Yefuna V'Yishu Benun. So, if we know that Achiyah Shalaini was living in Eretz Yisrael, he couldn't have been in Mitzrayim, where Amram passed away. Amrav Nuna, L'Gnigzra G'zeira Al Shifta Shalavit. Achiyah Shalaini was a Levi, and the Gzeira that everybody from 20 to 60 would die in the Midbar wasn't set to him. The Ksiv, as the pasuk says, "B'midbar zeh yibul pigrechem v'kol pugadechem l'chol misparchem b'ben esrim shana m'mala." Mi shebekuda b'ben esrim, people who, when we take their census, we count from between the from above the age of 20, which is the rest of Klal Yisrael. They had the decree that anybody, that all those individuals would pass away in the Midbar. Yotze shifta shalevi, this comes to exclude shevet levi shebekuda b'ben shloshim. We start counting them from when they're 30 years old. Ask the Gemara, were there no other people that left Mitzrayim yet entered Eretz Yisrael? V'tanya, Yor ben Menasher, or Macher ben Menasher, Nold ben Yaakov, were born in the time of Yaakov Vinu, v'lemesu, and they didn't pass away at Shenichnasu Yisrael Oretz, until Klal Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael. Shenema v'yakmem ancha eim, Ancho I kishloishim shloishim ish, 36 people passed away with Tanya, shloishim shesh mamish. There were actually 36 people who were killed in that battle. Divrei Reb Yehuda, Omer loy Reb Nechemya, says to Reb Nechemya to him, v'chinem shloishim shisha. Does the pasuk say the 36 people were killed? V'loy loy nemar, doesn't it say elo kishloishim shesh, like 66? What does it mean? Says the Gemara, El Zayar B'Menashe, where the Persik is trying to teach us, it refers to Yar B'Menashe, Sheshakel Kerubish of Sanhedrin, that he was equal to 36 people of the Sanhedrin, which were the Rubish of Sanhedrin, and, because the Sanhedrin is 70 people, and he was equal, he's the majority of the members of Sanhedrin. Mepharshim say this is connected to the, we know that the Gemara says that in every generation there are 36 great tzaddikim who keep the world going. That's what's known as the Lama Vovniks. And he was equal to that group. Ela Amar Rav Acha ben Yaakov. So if we're saying that anyone who was a Mitzrayim did not make it to Eretz Yisrael, how do we explain Yor ben Menashe and Machir ben Menashe? Says the Gemara, "L'nigzur gzeira ela apox b'menesrim." The gzeira wasn't made on anybody who was less than 20 years old when the chait of the meraglim v'lo yosam ben shishim, or anybody who was over 60, even if he was not a levi. Lo apox b'menesrim d'ksiv. The pasuk says explicitly, "B'menesrim shana v'mala v'lo yosam ben shishim." If somebody was over 60, the gzeira didn't apply to him. Says it because we learn gzeira shava. Gomer umala umala mi erchin mala helen miyesim ben shishim kipox ben chef. The parasha of erchin is a parasha that teaches us that there are two ways of evaluating the value of a person, of assessing the value of a person. One is to assess how much he is worth being sold as a slave. Another is the parasha of erchin, that every person, according to their age and according to their gender, has a fixed value. Now, once somebody is above 60 years old, his erich valuation goes down to the same as to a person who's below 20. Mal halon yeser ben shishim, if somebody's over 60 years old, his erich value is kapach ben chaf, like someone who's less than 20. There's a different value for somebody under 20 than for somebody between 20 and 60, and then somebody above 60. Afkan here too, regarding to whom the decree was applied to, yeser ben shishim kapach ben shishim. Just to end the Gemara on a better note, there's a beautiful verse from the Kedushas Levi. Kedushas Levi says, "Nishalti, I was asked, why is Shavuos called Atzeres?" We don't find that the Torah calls Shavuos Atzeres. He said, "Nishalti ish milito, I was asked from somebody from Lithuania, what is Pshat?" So he says, "That where do we find that the Torah calls a Yom Tov Atzeres? Shmini Atzeres is called Atzeres. What does Shmini Atzeres represent? Shmini Atzeres represents that it's the end of Sukkos, and as we have learned in our shir, when one completes doing a mitzvah, he makes a siyum, he makes a yontif. That's why Shmini Atzeres is a yontif. So too, Shavuos is a yontif, says the Kedushas Levi, because we just finished, completed on Shavuos doing the great mitzvah, a Sfiras Omer, and whenever we complete doing a mitzvah, b'shleimus, a siyum, a yontif, is in order. We should always be able to do mitzvahs b'shleimus.